All right, the next sugya we're going to be doing is the sugya of Psul Rasha. So we'll see how much time we spend on the sugya, but there are certain basics at least that we do need to get through. So again, on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, we have two of the Yal Kigams. There are only six places in Gan's Shas that we pass like Abaye against Rava. Two of them are right here. So one of them we just had. That was the first sugya we had, Veid Zomein, L'mafreya hu nifsal o mikanu l'haba hu nifsal. Where Abaye says L'mafreya, and the Gemara Paskin, yes, we pass like Abaye, that L'mafreya hu nifsal. So the next pieces, Mumar Ochel Nevel Stevon. How far did you guys get in the Gemara? Did you get all the way to the Mishnah? You go all the way down? No? Okay, so maybe we'll read through the Gemara, we'll try to set up the sugya, we'll go through the various questions that we need to ask, and make small ha'aras as we go through the Gemara. Is that good by everybody? Yeah? Okay, so let's go through. So it says the Gemara, Mumar, last red line is Mumar. Mumar ochel nevelos l'teavon. Let's say you have a guy who eats nevelos because they're delicious, not because he's trying to rebel against God, or he hates Hashem, or anything like that. It's just they're either delicious or they're cheap, so he eats nevelos. So, divrei hakol pasul, everyone would say such a person is pasul to be an aid. But lahachis, which is ironic, you would think lahachis is worse, that he's rebelling against God, he's ochel nevelos, lahachis. So says the Gemara, Abaye amar pasul, Rav amar kosher. Then it's not so pasul that he's a pasul aid. Rav says that in that case, he's going to be kosher. Why? What's the nekudas hamachlokas? So Abaye amar pasul davale rasha, Rachman al tashas rasha aid. Abaye says he's pasul because he's a rasha. Torah says you can't have a rasha as an aid. Someone who eats nevelos because he hates Hashem and he's trying to get back at Hashem is a rasha, so he can't be an aid. V'rav amar kasher, rasha d'chamos b'inan. And Rav says, no, he's perfectly kasher because, yes, he did an avera, but not everyone who does an avera is pasul le'edus. Only a rasha who's a rasha d'chamos is pasul le'edus. Only if he does something that involves monetary indiscretion is he pasul le'edus. But if it's just about religious law, ritual law, he's going to be kasher le'edus. So if you look at Rashi, mumar ochel nevelos l'teavon divrei hakol pasul, zokt Rashi, dekiven d'mishum mamun ka'avid, since what motivates him is money. When you type to the Gemara, you just translate the Gemara, you don't necessarily see that what motivates him is money. He eats nevelos because they're delicious. Maybe there's a cut of meat that tastes better, that happens to be. So the Gemara doesn't give an example of mumar ochel giranosha l'teavon or something like that. A cut of meat that's or mumar ochel chazer behemoth tameya l'teavon. Because if that's the case, it has nothing to do with money. It's just because it's more delicious than anything else. Nevela is, it's the same cow, it just wasn't shechted, it was shot in the head instead of shechted, so it tastes the same. So why would he choose to eat a nevela unless he hates Hashem? So what's the teyavon? So Rashi says it must be from the fact that we choose nevela as the example. I assume that's the that's why the Gemara chose nevela as the example. What the must be what motivates him is that if you buy the nevela meat in Costco, it's $2 a pound, let's say, and you buy the kosher meat in Costco, it's $4 a pound. So he'd rather spend $2 than spend $4, even though it tastes exactly the same. It's commonly found cheaper than kosher meats. That is ki rasha d'chamas. It is like a rasha d'chamas. Notice Rashi doesn't say it is literally a rasha d'chamas, but it's close enough to a rasha d'chamas that everyone would agree that he's going to be pasul. Now, why is it only ki rasha d'chamas? Why does Rashi have to say like that? Why not just say he's a rasha d'chamas? He's obviously doing this for money. That's a rasha d'chamas. So, yeah. Right, so chamas typically means to steal. He's not stealing from anybody. There's no ben adam l'chavero issue of money over here. It's just that he wants to save his own money. So Rashi over here, in fact, says that this counts as a rasha d'chamas because it's so close to a rasha d'chamas that it would count even though you didn't take money from somebody else. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Yud, Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says that you're only a rasha d'chamas if you take mamon she'eino shelo, if you actually take money that doesn't belong to you. So the Marik in Tshuva, the Marik in Shorosh Kuf Chav Vav, writes as follows. The im yikshalach, if you would ask, says the Marik, had amr perg zeborer, that which our Gemara says, mumar ochel nevelos l'teavon divrei hakol pasul le'edus, that everyone agrees that someone who eats nevelos l'teavon is pasul le'edus, the afal gav de rava ba'i rasha d'chamas, even though rava requires that the guy needs to be a rasha d'chamas in order to be pasul le'edus, hanami chashiv kimo rasha d'chamas, this also counts like a rasha d'chamas, Kivan de Mishum Mamun Kavid, Vayishchiach Bizul Tfeikid Pirisham Rashi. So he quotes Rashi, it's also Rashi with the Chamas because he's doing it to save some money. Alma, so says the Marik, what you see from Rashi is, and from our Gemara, the Afal Gav She'ein Lokeach Mamon, She'ein Ushalo, Chashiv Rasha Dechamas. So you see that even though you're not taking money that doesn't belong to you, you're still a Rasha Dechamas. So, fract the Marik, what's the Rambam going to do? The Rambam says you're only Rasha Dechamas if you take something that doesn't belong to you. So how could you be a Rasha Dechamas in our Gemara when you're Ochlin Neveil Slotayavon? You're not taking anything that doesn't belong to you, and everyone agrees that it makes you Rasha Dechamas, so you're going to be Pasul. So says the Marik, Nirlani as Daiti, Devadai LeRava DeLosagile BeRasha DeMalkus. Rava, who says that just being a Rasha is not enough to Pasul you LeEdus, Emeinu Dechamas, unless you did Chamas as well, BeChamas Kol Dehu Sagya. Kivan Shekvarhu Rasha LeMalkus. Meaning Rava's view, the Pashup Shat, the way Rashi reads the Gemara is, Rava's view is that anytime you're motivated by money, you compromise your principles for money, you're Pasul LeEdus. But says the Marik, the Rambam would say no. A Rasha Dechamas is only if you take money that doesn't belong to you. Why is the Ochel Neveils L'Teyavon considered to be a Rasha Dechamas? He didn't take any money that doesn't belong to him. So says the Marik, the way the Rambam would view it is as follows. There are two ways, according to Rava who says that a guy who eats Neveils L'Achas is Kashal Eidos, would it still hold that there are two ways that you could be Pasul Eidos? One, you steal money that doesn't belong to you. Or two, you do an Aveira that you're Chayiv Malkus on, and with that same Aveira, you show a Taifa for Mammon, you compromise your principles for money. If you do both at the same time, that teams up to make it like a Rasha Duchamas. Meaning, Rava would say, if I just stam eat Nevela Lahachis, and I didn't do anything because of money, granted I'm Chayiv Malkus for eating Nevela, but that makes me, and it may make me a Rasha, but it doesn't make me Pasul Eidos, because it's not a Rasha Duchamas. On the other side, if I take money that doesn't belong to me, then it's Mamish Rasha Duchamas. Then of course I'm Pasul Eidos. But Rava, according to the way the Rambam understands the Gemara, Rava would be Mechadesh. That if I do an Avera for which I'm Chayiv Malkus, because I'm motivated by money, so granted it's not Chamas Mamish, because I didn't take something that doesn't belong to me, and granted doing an Avera Chayiv Malkus alone isn't enough to pass me L'Eidos, but when I do something that's close to Chamas, that's money motivated, and it involves a Chayiv Malkus, that passes me L'Eidos. So that's why the Rambam would say, look, you're not a Rasha Duchamas unless you take money that doesn't belong to you, but still if you're Ochel Neveils L'Teyavon, you're Pasul Eidos. Because you're in that middle category of someone who did an Avera for which they're Chayiv Malkus, and they did it because they were motivated by saving money. That's how the Marik says. The Chum Bechamas Koldu Sagya Kivin Shekvaru Rasha L'Malkus. Once you're Rasha anyway because you did an Avera for which you're Chayiv Malkus, so you don't need any serious level of Chamas. Dalkark Lopal Galei Dabaye Aval Hecha De'ein Rasha L'Malkus. But if a guy didn't do anything for which he's Chayiv Malkus, and we want to passel him only with the factor that he's a Rasha Dechamas, then the Rambam would say that according to Rava, as Be'inan Chamas Gomur, Dahainu Lokeach Mamun She'en Shalok, in the case of Rabbeinu Moshe, then you would need Chamas Gomur, which involves taking money that doesn't belong to you. If you didn't do an Aveira that involves Malkus, so the only way you'd be Rasha Dechamas alone, the way the Rambam understands the Rava, is it would need to be Chamas Gomur. So that's a unique reading of our Gemara, but you see, you understand the weakness is that in Rashi is that Chamas means stealing, and over here there's no stealing. So you have to say something. So Rashi says, yeah, it's close enough. The Nakuda that passes you by stealing, Rashi would say, is not that I'm taking something that doesn't belong to me. It's that I have a Taivas Mamon, that I have an unhealthy Taivas Mamon, and my unhealthy Taivas Mamon might cause me to lie under oath. Now there's one of the Chakiras that we're going to have to discuss in the sugya, one of the major chakiras, is why is a Rasha Pasul LeEdos? Is a Rasha Pasul LeEdos because a chashash meshaker, that if he's a Rasha, mistameh he'll lie, because he doesn't care about the mitzvah of saying Eidos properly, so mistameh he'll lie? Or do you say no? What's the other possibility? What's the other possibility always by a Pasul LeEdos? Either we're afraid he's going to lie, or Xeris HaKosev. You know, a woman, we're not afraid she's going to lie, she's Pasul LeEdos, because she's Pasul LeEdos. Karov may not be chashash mishakris pasul eidus, just because he's the Torah says pasul eidus. So why is it that Rosh is pasul eidus? Is it a din of chashash mishaker, or is it a din that just stam it's exerts a kasuv that you pasul eidus? So the way Rashi understands it, that Rosh of the Chamas is defined as someone who has an unhealthy taivas mamon, so it doesn't have anything to do with what you did to the other party, with injuring another party. It has everything to do with just the fact that you are unhealthily motivated by money. So if that's the case, what's the problem? What's the issue? It would seem that the issue is that if you can be bought, then you can't be an aid. Because if someone could just pay you and you'll say whatever they tell you to say, that's a major problem. So it seems that according to Rashi, it would be very clearly a chashash mishaker, that anyone who personally has issues with money, so we have a chashash mishaker. The way the Rambam understands it, it may not be so clear that that's the issue, that Rosh HaDechamah speaks of chashash mishaker, because the Rambam would say, look, if I have an unhealthy attitude toward money and I compromise my principles for money, I'm still not pasul eidus. I'm only pasul eidus if I actually take something from somebody else. Actually hurt somebody else, right? So the Rambam might say that why is that? Because that's when I'm a really bad man, and it's psul rasha, gzeres hakasav, that a rasha is psul, that this kind of rasha, but only when you do something really bad, not because chashash mishaker, just so you do something really bad. Of course, you could flip that on its head also, and you could say the other way. You could say that according to the Rambam, you wanted to say that according to the Rambam, you could say when am I going to be psul eidus? Only when, what, let's put it this way. If I have an unhealthy attitude towards money, so I buy cheap treif meat instead of buying expensive kosher meat, and I eat the treif meat myself, but don't feed it to anybody else, just eat it myself. So I violate an avera for the sake of money. Does that necessarily mean I'm going to testify falsely in a monetary case? That's still a bit of a leap. Why would I testify falsely in a monetary case? What, because someone's going to pay me money? But I'm testifying falsely in a monetary case, I'm causing someone to unfairly lose money. That's really like, that's like stealing. That's much more like stealing than like buying treif of meat and eating it myself. So you can say the Rambam, who says that a rush of the chamas is only when you take from somebody else, that's because the Rambam's worried of chashash meshaker, that you might lie. When are we concerned you're going to lie and have money taken away from somebody unfairly? Only if you yourself have shown that you're willing to take money from other people unfairly. But if you just have an unhealthy attitude toward money, but you never show that you're willing to take from other people, then maybe that wouldn't be enough to pasul you le'edus. Whereas Rashi might say, no, just an unhealthy attitude toward money, that's enough to make you a Rasha de Hamas. Mele, you pasul le'edus, gzeres hakasav. So this chakira doesn't fit neatly into Rashi and the Rambam. You could say it both ways, right? You could say Rashi on either side of the chakira, you could say the Rambam on either side of the chakira. But that's one chakira to keep in mind. Again, just setting up the sugya, one thing to keep in mind. You had a question?
If the guy was to feed the trip meat to his children,
so that's an interesting case, because that's someone who's, you see, he's not afraid to harm other people in terms of their ruchnius, but he's not stealing money from other people. Right? So that would be an interesting test case. That would be somewhere in between. What?
Does stealing das count?
Gnevus das is not money. It's not, probably, unless it's for monetary gain, probably. But over here, Safra, you know, he's doing it because you know, he brought the trade for me because he wants to save money, but he's not taking money away from his children or from other people. So that's an interesting test case. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that Mumar Ochel Nevel Sotayavon, so the Gemara says that according to Abaye, according to everybody, Mumar Ochel Nevel Sotayavon is Pasul Le'edus. So the Rashba writes in the Tshuva in Chel Galav Simshin Tazvav that it's only about Le'edus that he's Pasul. But for other things, he's Ne'eman. Let's say for Eidach and Bisurin type of things. So he would still be Ne'eman. He says the Raya is from Masechus Chulin Dav Dalid, that a Mumar Ochel Nevel Sotayavon is not a Mumar, Afil Lo Sardavar, Del Shavik Eterev Achel Yisura. Meaning, we don't assume necessarily that every piece of meat he puts into his mouth is going to be a treif piece of meat. If there are two pieces of meat in front of him, and one is labeled kosher, and one is labeled treif, and you're not charging him for them, we will assume he would still take the kosher piece of meat. Right? He's not a mumar in the sense that you assume that he's trying to do averos. Ochel Nevel Sotayavon is only a mumar in the sense that you assume he would compromise his principle for the sake of money. Good. Now the sheet of Abaye, the way the Gemara says it is, Mumarach Nevels Lahachis is possible. Why? Because Russia. Torah says you can't have a Russia. So how do we define a Russia? Apparently, Russia is someone who violates an Avera for which you're Chayv Malkus. That makes you a Russia. What about an Avera that you're not Chayv Malkus for? Would that still make you a Russia? So you can't ask a question like that, because what do you mean, an Avera that you're not Chayv Malkus for? For not putting on tefillin? Not Chayv Malkus, obviously that doesn't make you a Russia. It's just a bit of mitzvah saseh, right? Not taking lulav. What about killing somebody? You're not Chayv Malkus for killing somebody. So if you murder somebody, you're still a Russia? Oops, what do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Over
it's a Losa. It's a Losa, maybe there's no Malkus.
Maybe the only reason you don't get Malkus is because of if you're
having
two punishments.
Oh, it's not called Rabbinay, there's no two punishments, there's one punishment. But that what's that one punishment?
Misa.
So you're getting something worse than Malkus. Meaning, if Malkus is a reflection of the Chomer Isser, of how severe the Isser is, when you get Misa, right, you're doing something much more severe. So of course, that's going to be a Russia, right? What? So those are the easy cases, right? You have one case, let's say, where you don't take Lulav. Okay, so that's obviously a lot less than Malkus. You're still going to be Kashal Eidos. You murder somebody. You're Michal Shabbos. That's obviously much worse than Malkus. You're going to be Pasal Eidos. What about something like this? What if a person does an Avera that is a... And by the way, that thing about something that you would be Chayiv Misa for, the Tumim, Rabbi Yonah Sinaipshitz writes in Chosh Mishpah Simon Lamed Daled, that he writes that Svara, that anything that's a Lav Shenitan Lasaras Misa is based in, any Losa say that could theoretically be Mechayiv you the death penalty, so mainly you're going to be Pasul Eidos, because your reason for not getting Malkus is not because of the Kulas HaIsser, but the Chumras HaIsser. It's just so Chumr that Malkus simply isn't enough for you in that case. So those are the easy cases. What about the following? What if you have a Lav Anitak Lasei? A Lav that can be fixed by an Asei. So you don't get Malkus for Lav Anitak Lasei. So stealing is Lav Anitak Lasei, but that's a bad example because it's Rasha D'Chamas anyway. Right? But what if Nosar? So it's Lav Anitak Lasei. You leave it over and there's an Asei Beish Tisrofu that you burn it afterwards if you left it over. So you don't get Malkus on Lav Anitak Lasei. Would you be Pasul Eidos?
Unless you destroy the possibility to do the Asei.
Right, so there's Sugi Mesechus Malkus, very good. Kimu Velo Kimu, Bitlu Velo Bitlu, whether destroying the possibility of doing the Asei, if you're Mevata, that's there's a machlokas, one sheet in the Gemara is kimu v'lo kimu, that they tell you at a certain point in time, they sit you down and they say, listen, you got to do that mitzvah saseh right now. Here's your chance. And if you ignore that opportunity, then they give you malchus. The other sheet is no. A bitlu v'lo bitlu, no one could sit you down and tell you, here's your chance. You always have a chance until you physically can't do it anymore. Like, for instance, the nosar got flushed down the toilet. Good, so now you physically can't burn it anymore. Mela, now you're going to be Chayv Malkus. So given that knowledge of what you just said, that you could be Chayv Malkus even for a Lav Anitak Lasei, it's just that usually you won't. So is the Lav Anitak Lasei, is the reason you don't get Malkus because it's more Kal, it's a more lenient Isser, or is the reason you don't get Malkus some other reason? Ojutaina. If you dafka destroy the possibility of the Asei, then it's a no-brainer because you're actually getting Malkus, right? So then, of course, it's going to be Pasul Eidos. But let's say you didn't yet destroy the possibility, right? You did a Lav Anitak Lasei.
But you're not chayiv anything yet.
So you're not chayiv anything yet. But is the reason you're not chayiv anything because you didn't really do anything so bad? Or is there some other reason that you're not chayiv anything? Right? Meaning, apparently, Lav Anitak Lasei, it can't be that the Torah gives an opportunity to fix a Los Hasei, it can't be that the Torah gives that opportunity because a Los Hasei is not so bad in the first place. And that's why you don't get Malkus, because it's not even so bad. Because if that were true, that it weren't so bad, that even if you destroy the possibility of doing the Hasei, You still shouldn't get malchus. It's not so bad. Elamai, the Torah says, no, if you destroy the possibility to do the essay, you will get malchus. Why? Because this isser is every bit as bad an isser as any other chi of malchus. It's just that we don't want to take our chances, give you malchus, and then have you rectify the situation. So the Torah has exeris hakasuv that we don't want to give you malchus until we make sure that you've committed to this. But in the meantime, should a guy be kasha le'edus? So it would seem that since it's not based on the kulas ha'iser, the fact that lav nita klasei doesn't get malchus, is not based on the fact that it's a more kal kind of iser. So it makes it sound, it seems at least, that it should be that Lavinita Klasei would pass a le'edus. That someone does, even though you don't actually get malchus, but you did something that's just as severe, zechiv malchus, like murder. When you murder somebody, you don't get malchus either. But you did something more, at least as severe as a malchus aveira. Right? So Lavinita Klasei would seem to fit that category. And in fact, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz writes that way in the Tumim. Took issue with that?
More mako because you're able to fix it. And why is that?
Ah, right. So you could argue, yeah, it's very chamur once you can no longer fix it. But so long as you can fix it, you're not getting malchus because it's not yet so serious. Meaning the lack of commitment to that avera, the fact that you left yourself an out from that avera means that you have yet to do something terrible. You've done something bad, but not terrible. Only when you're mevatel the opportunity to fix that mitzvah, only then does it become something terrible. Right? In which case, you shouldn't be pasul eidos until you're mevatel the opportunity to do the mitzvah again. Yeah, that's what I would have thought, Misvara, but Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says otherwise.
Could someone else be mevatel the way it's
done? Yeah, I think it's... I
think if someone else can ruin it, and then you get...
Let's say someone else flushes it down the toilet.
Right.
Right. So that's an interesting question. You have to look at the sugi and makas carefully. Meaning, what is it? Is it the mice of being mevatel? Right. Meaning, is it that I actively went out of my way to show now I'm really committing to this avera? I'm committing to it so much I'm destroying the possibility of making it good again. What if someone else ruins it, flushes it down the toilet? Now I don't have the ability, but it wasn't because I committed to the avera. Would I get malchus in that case? I don't know. You have to look at that Gemara carefully. You could say it both ways, right? That would be Tali in this Chakira. It's exactly this. I'm glad you raised it. It's exactly this Chakira. Why is it that I don't get malchus before in that in-between time, after I did the Avera, before I made a commitment about whether I'm going to be misaki in the Avera or not? Why won't I get malchus? So you could argue I don't get malchus because... even though I did a very, very severe iser, since I may fix it later, it may be gloy milsel mafrei that the iser is not there, so I shouldn't get malchus. But you could, and so right now I'm besafek, because I may have really done a very terrible avera, or I may not have been. So besafek, if you're kasher le'edus, we wouldn't let you be an aid. Besafek, whether you get malchus, we're not going to give you malchus. Or you could say, no, right now I definitely didn't do something that deserves malchus. Definitely not. When do I do something that deserves malchus? When I make the full commitment by being mevatel the opportunity to ever fix it later. L'maynaf kamina between those two ways of looking at it, exactly Evan's case. Let's say someone else is mevatel the opportunity to fix it later. So if you view it as just, I was in limbo, it was a suffix, whether I really was going to end up with that aveira on my cheshbon or not. So now the aveira is on my cheshbon because I can't ever fix it. So mele, I'm going to get malchus now. But if you hold, no, it's... that I definitely didn't do the Avera yet bad enough to get Malkus. It's only the full commitment of getting rid of it that's Mechayiv me the Malkus. Well, then I'm only Chayiv Malkus if I make that commitment. If I get rid of the opportunity to fix it, not if somebody else gets rid of the opportunity to fix it. So that's an excellent formulation. It's an excellent formulation of that Chakira. So it would be Tali, and the other Nafkamina would be our case. Are you pasul eidus in the interim? If you say that you were in limbo, you're suffic, whether you're pasul eidus or kashul eidus because you don't yet know which way it's going to go, so then you can't be an aid if it's a suffic. But if we say, no, we know for sure at this point you have not yet done something for which you're chayv malchus. It's only when you flush it down the toilet and you make that commitment that you're going to be chayv malchus, well then in the interim I still can be an aid. So that's the chakira. Yeah, you have to look for raya's in the Gemara Makkos. I didn't really have a chance to go through the sugya Makkos, but that's the way to attack it lamdas wise. I think that's the approach.
Is there any discussion about the Gemara Makkos
Is it, no, he's not chayv anything. He can't be chayv anything. He didn't do the Aveira. Maybe. Right, but he's not going to be chayv anything. I don't think he's going to be chayv anything. What about the following case? What about when else don't you get malchus? Violate a lav and not get malchus for it. Another example. Lav and nitzik lase is one example. Lav shem b'maisa. So what would you say? Guy does lav shem b'maisa. Is he going to be chayv malchus? Take another sugi and malchus. If he's a nikaf, someone's giving him a haircut and he doesn't move. He doesn't help. He doesn't aid in any way. Person cuts his payas off. So it's a lav shein b'maisa. Or let's say, no sir. He just left it over. He left the carbon meat over beyond its time. It comes no sir. So it's a lav shein b'maisa. So why is it that a lav shein b'maisa doesn't get malchus? What? Right. Sounds like it's more kal. Why is it more kal? Because when you actively do, same reason that a mitzvah, that bittul mitzvah saseh is more kal than a violation of a lo saseh. Because when you're mevatel mitzvah saseh, normally you just don't do anything. You're shevi al taseh. So lav shein b'maisa is shevi al taseh. You're just not doing. You're not actively going and rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just happen to not be doing. You happen to not be doing what you're supposed to be doing. So if that's the understanding, that it's more kal, then it would seem that it would not pasul le'edus min haTorah. And that's where Rabbi Anishnaibshitz understands over there in that piece in the Tumim as well. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara Vayter, right? We're clear about that? Is there any, I don't think there's any way you could argue that a lav shein b'maisa is just a scham or it's, you know, Mustamas, because it's more kal. That's right. That I think nitik lasei is the interesting one. I think in b'maisa is pashut that it's more kal, and therefore you're not going to be pasul le'edus. Okay, so says Gemara. Wait a second. So we have this machlokas. If you're ochel nevelus lahachis, where Abaye says, okay, you're a Rashi, you're pasul le'edus. Rava says, no, you're not pasul le'edus because you're not a Rashi of the chamas. So frak the Gemara meisvei. The Gemara is going to try to bring two rayas. Number one. Meisvei al tashas rasha aid al tashas chamas aid elu gazlanin umalin b'shavuos, that who is someone who's not allowed to be an aid, someone who's a gazlan or who violates shavuos, violates oaths, oaths plural. What do you mean? What kind of oaths? My love, echad shvuos shav, echad shvuos mamon. Doesn't that imply both shvuos shav as well as shvuos mamon? Now, shvuos mamon, if you swear falsely about money, so then you are most definitely pasul. Why? Why are you pasul according to everybody? Rasha d'chamas. But a shvuos shav, what's a shvuos shav? Says Rashi, al ha'amud shel even, shu shel even. Shvor sheker alam shalav and shu shal zav avlagav zav rashi duchamasu. Shvor shav in general in Mesach Shavuos there are two types of shvuos. There's shvor that are aser, shvor shav and shvor sheker. Generally speaking, it's a mitzvah to take a shvuah. It's a mitzvah to be mechazik something with a shvuah. But the question of the exact applicability of that mitzvah, pashlus is it's a mitzvah when you have something true to say that other people won't necessarily know. It's a mitzvah to be mechazik dvarav with a shvuah. But there are two types of asr shvuahs: the shvuah shav and shvuah sheker. So Rashi says shvuah sheker. I know very easy. If I take a look at this table and I say this desk is an antique that was preserved from the 16th century in England and was shipped over here, and you're like, really? It looks like formica and plastic. I don't know. Are you sure it's an antique? I don't think they use. So that would be a shvuah sheker, right? I'm telling you something that's a blatant lie. So that would be shvuah sheker. But if I take a shvuah that this desk is a piece of formica and it's you know, which is obvious to all of you that it's nothing fancy, so that would be a shvuah shav. Just tell you what is with a shvuah. You don't need to take a shvuah on something that everyone already knows. So that's what Rashi says. Al amud shel even, shuhu shel even. Say something that's clearly made out of stone. To say that it's made out of stone, that is a shvuah shav. It's another type of shvuah shav. If I tell you this desk is made out of gold, that's also a shvuah shav. Why is that a shvuah shav? Because it's right. Meaning it's so obvious that it's not even a sheker. Because sheker is when you mislead somebody. If I tell you this is made out of gold, I didn't mislead anybody. I fooled nobody. So, which is a very interesting understanding of sheker. Is sheker that which is objectively untrue? Or is sheker only that which misleads other people? right, that which could lead to misinformation. Is sheker, the iser to tell a lie, is that a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero? Or is that an iser ben adam l'atzmo? Is it an iser to mislead somebody, or it's unhealthy for you to say things that are simply not true, even if you're not misleading anybody? I was asked a shaila recently, just this past Friday. There's a therapist who works in one of the schools, she's paid by the district, and the way she gets paid is when she provides services for a child, she has to fill in on the computer, you know, on the database, when exactly she provided the services. Now, it's yadua umaforsum that a bunch of the therapists that work in the from schools will enter in incorrect times. Why? They're going to enter in the wrong times. Times that they did not provide the services. Why? What's their svara? They're stam ganavim. So sometimes, yeah, but the svara goes like this. That they're going to provide services on next Sunday, let's say, or Monday, and the whole week after that, because the yeshivas are open. And they can provide services on New Year's. Yeshivas are open. But in the system, it won't allow you to enter because they won't pay you for services that you provide when public school's not in session. So what they do is they just enter it into different... They're like, services provided. The child is entitled to X amount of hours a week. So I can't make it. So I'm going to do it on Columbus Day, even though Columbus Day is a day that I'm not, you know, that they don't want to reimburse me for. So they just enter it at random times, whenever they feel like, whatever fits the schedule, they'll enter the Zman. So someone asked me if they're allowed to do that. I thought, Pashul Aser. That's Pashul Aser. Why is that Pashul Aser? Why do you think I said? They provided the services. So what did they do wrong?
Stealing.
Why is it stealing?
Good.
That's exactly my cheshbon was. If the district says, we don't pay for these days, those days, X amount... What the district is ultimately doing is saving money. Because the more they limit the amount of times that you can provide services, then ultimately it's going to be fewer services that are provided. It's not going to fit everybody's schedule. So the district is trying to save some money by blocking out certain dates. So by you doing an end around and saying, well, I'm going to provide the services that date and fill it in a different date, well, no, then it's stealing money. But here's the shaila that I was asked. A woman provided services on the right time. It was a time that she was allowed to, she was supposed to. She went to enter it into the computer, and already a different provider had entered that slot into the computer. But it was my slot! The other provider is lying! But the computer won't let you enter your time in. So I said, sure, it's okay. So I asked the other woman to change her thing. Well, to change it, she would need to give her check back. She would need to tell them that she lied. And she would like to be a whole to do. There's no way she's going to agree to change it. So am I allowed to just enter in a different time to get paid for a service I was allowed to provide? So no, what's the shaila? What are you taina? You be the posik.
So based on what we just said, that those are closed hours, these are open hours. So there's no loss and there's no gain.
There's no loss of money to the other party. I think Gneva, for sure, it's not. It's definitely not Gneva. Because you provided the services when you were supposed to. It's definitely not Gneva.
It could be Sheker.
Ah, so it could be Sheker. But that depends how you view the Isser of Sheker. Is the Isser of Sheker an Isser of doing something to hurt another party? Or do you have a totally benign Sheker? I've told you the story in the past. I was on vacation a long time ago in Arizona, and we were taking a Jeep ride through Sedona, and they go around the whole Jeep, and they ask everybody their names. And I just didn't want to go through the Arye, what's that? Where's that? You know, what's that? So I just said, they said, what's your name? I said, Dave. Pure sheker. Total lie. Didn't hurt anybody. It made their lives easier. Dave is the name they heard of. So is that an Isser? Is it an Isser just being that it's Midos? Isser Beidon La'atzmo? Or is the Isser of Sheker to mislead somebody else? So Shvua Sheker, the concept of Shvua Sheker is very interesting. That it's not called Shvua Sheker if I tell you this desk is made out of gold. It's patently false. That's not the Isser of Sheker. The Isser of Sheker is to mislead somebody. And I'm not misleading anybody when I tell them that it's made out of gold. It's a shvur shav. I take a shvur that the desk is made out of gold, it's a shvur shav. That it is. But it's not a shvur sheker. Yeah.
It's kind of harsh, but like, if you're going to just not let her, let the other person do the isser, then you're kind of at fault in a way. Like it's your responsibility to go to her and tell her not to do that.
To an extent, there's a mitzvah of mochiach tochiach. There's a mitzvah of being mochiach people when they're doing an avera. From what I'm told, thank God the therapists in my shul, after I've spoken about this many, many times, because I thought it was terrible that people are doing it, I thought it was mamish kaneva. So several of the women in my shul have told me they either never did it or that they've stopped doing this, but they said it is rampant. It's not even viewed as, viewed at in the therapist community as something that's even an issue. What do you mean? Of course everyone does that. So pick a different time if that time is taken. So I don't know if you're going to be successful in Telcha. It's always a cheshbon. When is Telcha appropriate? When is it not appropriate? It's not so passion. I had a maisa, I don't know if you could stop me if I told it to you, about Hakafas Harosh. There's an issue to cut off your payas. So there's some people that like to shave their heads because they're going bald, so they go with the Michael Jordan approach to going bald and they just shave their heads entirely. So that's an issue of Hakafas Harosh because you're not allowed to cut off your payas. When they shave their heads, outside of Hasidic communities, they don't leave the payas Harosh. So there was a guy in my shul who was getting very, very short haircuts, pretty much shaving his head. So I wasn't sure, should I say something, should I not say anything? He's a frum guy, and he learns, and he says chaburas, and he's like a really good guy. And, I know him for a long time. He's like one of my oldest friends. So I wasn't sure, should I, shouldn't I? So I figured that's my job, as a rabbi and as a Jew. So I said something to him. So he was pretty insulted at first. He said, what are you talking about? Because I did it the wrong way. I did it totally wrong. I went over to him and I said, maybe we should look into the Inyan or something. Like, I didn't say, I've already looked into it and it seems that it's usher. I said, we should probably look into it because it's definitely a shayla. We were learning Nazir and Daf Yomi at the time. And he's like, well, what kind of tocha is that? You don't come over to me and tell me maybe we should look into it. You're the rabbi. Look into it and tell me what your maskana is. And he said, you had a valid taina. I was just too afraid to actually. So I did look into it. And I came up with a certain kula that I thought in this case was appropriate. I don't want to go through the whole kula, but I came up with a certain kula, not to mamash shave the head, but to get it very, very short, extremely short. For this situation, because I wouldn't be making like this l'chachil. In other cases, whatever it was, extremely short. So I came to him with Lag BaOmer, in the morning of Lag BaOmer. I knew he was going to get a haircut that day. Lag BaOmer. So I came over to him after davening in shul. I handed him a packet of marmakom. He's a very learned guy. He learned a couple of years in Eretz Yisrael. So, like I said. So I said, I gave him a whole shtickle. I said, Machlok is Rishon about this, about a kafas kolar rosh, whether it's this or whether Misprayim Kain Tar is a further machlokas. You have the shach, you have this, and there's a shita of Ramesh Salvechik that even if it's Ashutuch Kabar Tzipora, and even if it's just a little bit, that would be okay. So I gave him this whole shtickle Torah in like 5 minutes, and I handed him the Mar Makomos, so you can look at later on. So, okay, but I felt like he was still upset at me because of the way I approached it. That day we were on our Lag BaOmer trip, DRS, and I got a phone call from this guy. While I was on the trip, he says, Rabbi Leibowitz, I owe you a million brachas. I have to give you all the brachas in the world. I said, why? He said, Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. I was in the barbershop with my children getting a haircut, and I got a very short haircut. The amount that you told me I can get, that La Halacha is mutter, so I got that haircut. And a frum guy was in the barbershop, and he saw the haircut that I got, and he started yelling at me and berating me in front of my kids and saying, how dare you, you're a frum guy, you keep bringing kids with yarmulkes on their heads, and you get a haircut like this, it's mamish nisa daraisa, hakafas harosh, how could you do such a thing? Like in front of a packed barbershop in Lag BaOmer, just yelling at him. So he said, I calmly stood up, I went straight from shul to the barbershop, so he still had the marmakomos in his pocket. He said, I stood up, I said, well, actually, there's machlokas rishonim about hakafas kol rosh, if you use misprime kain tar, and there's a further discussion in the achronim, whether tichar v'tzipor, and the Ramesh Salavetchik gave a whole shtickle tar, and he said, and if you want to look into it weiter, here are some of the marmakomos, I'm sure you could enjoy it. And the guy was just speechless, and he said, can I look into this and get back to you? He said, no, it's okay, we're done here. So he said, you know, if you wouldn't have said anything to me, that conversation, I would have been humiliated. I would have nothing to respond. My kids would have looked at me like I'm a fool, and it would have been. So that's my good tochacha story. when you never know when it's good to tell, to give tochacha, to give to set people on the right path. But at the same time, I think in this therapist situation, it's not so much. But the rabbanim should all get up and yell about it. I don't know if the therapists can be mochiach each other about this. All right, we didn't get as far as I wanted to, but Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, maybe we'll just continue going through the Gemara tomorrow, and then after that we'll.
If you said that